Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. A sense of foreboding. Let me read the verse to you. It stands on its own. It speaks for itself. They, that is, this Jesus and his disciples, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Yeah, that's always the way. Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished. While those who followed, the crowd, were afraid. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, Jesus leading the way. The disciples were astonished, and the followers were afraid. Something very odd, something noteworthy here, don't you think? We have no cause mentioned. They're on the way up to Jerusalem, Jesus is leading the way. And then we're told the response, the way the disciples were feeling, and the way the crowd was reacting. Fear, astonishment. Let's have the words clearly made, laid out before us here, so that we understand the strangeness here. What's the link between those two parts? They're going out to Jerusalem, and there's all this fear. What fear? They're amazed, that's the word. Afraid, astonished. Terrified. Terror leading to flight. That's the kind of word we're having here. They're struck with fear. They're seized with alarm. These are the nuances of these words. They're frightened. There's a sense of danger. There's apprehension here. There's an unknown dread creeping over them. Something is being conveyed to them, a feeling, a malaise. Why? What? How is it happening? We're not told. All we know is that Christ is leading the way, and he's leading the way up to Jerusalem. And something is coming over this crowd, the disciples and the crowd following. The vibes are being passed to them. Now, as far as I can see, there's a kind of silence here, but it's a silence that can be felt. They're not going up to Jerusalem with a spring in their step, expecting, buoyant, you know, we're going to Jerusalem, you know, we've got our cameras, we're going as tourists, we can take a selfie and all that. No, no, they're not excited about it. There's something in the body language of Christ, that's all I can deduce. There's something in his facial expression, there's something in his attitude, his way. We know in Luke 9, verse 51, that we are told he was going resolutely to Jerusalem. We're told in Isaiah 50, verse 7, that he set his face as a flint. There's a determination about him, and it's showing, I'm sure, in his face, maybe in what he's saying, in his answers, in the attitude, maybe in the pace of his stride. He's leading the way. Maybe something he has said. You remember in John 18, verse 6, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. Doesn't sound much, does it? But they fell back. Why? Because of the way he said it, and of course the import of I am, the Jehovah word. You see, there's something going on here. There's something going on. What is going on? There's something dangerous around the corner. There's something lurking here. There's something seriously ahead. It's as though they're creeping down the stairs at night when they've heard a noise and they wonder what's waiting for them in the dining room or whatever. What is this leading to? Here we have the real humanity of Christ. Here we are going up to Jerusalem. He's setting his face as a flint. He's resolute. And this has conveyed a message to his disciples. A message of fear and apprehension. What's going on, my friend? Can you guess? What's waiting for them at Jerusalem? The cross. Betrayal. Denial. Refusal. Rejection. The nails. The spear. The crown of thorns. The lashings. All that's waiting for Christ at Jerusalem. You see, there are those who argue that it's all done at Calvary. But of course, the great transaction is accomplished at Calvary. I'm not denying it. But Gethsemane plays its part. And long before Gethsemane, think, Since he's been born, he's known he's going up to Jerusalem to suffer. When all the crowds are adulating him, he is still going to Jerusalem to die, to bleed. What for? A miscarriage of justice? No. Well, it was, but that's not it. No. The hatred of men? Yes, but no. What was it? I give my life. No man takes it from me. I give my life as a sacrifice for many. He laid down his life, he shed his blood. Who for? For the sheep. John chapter 10. And that's what it's leading to. Luke 24. Did not the Son of Man have to suffer? Did not the Messiah, the Christ, have to suffer these things? Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that. Haven't you seen it? I've explained it to you time and again. This is it. We're going to the cross. It's not simply that they're going up to Jerusalem, but what's waiting for them is the suffering and the affliction. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Oh yes, the cross is the culmination of it, but Gethsemane has its anguish. That Pilate's hall has its anguish. Caiaphas, Annas, that has its anguish. But here's the anguish too. Already he knows it. You know what it's like to wait. You have a serious operation. You've got to go see the dentist. You've got a serious interview. You know how you wanted to come and get it over with. Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. They were on their way up to Jerusalem. Can't you say, my friend, that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem? For me, in my place condemned, he stood. Jesus leading the way, always. Yes, you see, of course. Why? Because he is going resolutely to pay the price for his people's sins. I come to do thy will, O God. And here he is. The disciples were astonished. Are you astonished? Those who followed were afraid. Are you afraid? Or will you trust the Savior and rejoice that he went to Jerusalem? And there on the cross, he shed his blood for you. Can you say it, my friend? Can you believe it? Can you receive it? Can you trust the Savior? Will you do so now?